from KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Polly Stryker, in for John Sepulvedo. The Associated Press is reporting that the Trump administration is sending babies and young children separated from their parents at the border to, quote, tender age facilities in Texas. This morning, Customs and Border Protection gave KQED three reasons for separating children under the age of five from their parents. These include the safety of the child and insufficient detention space to accommodate a family unit. All this got us wondering how this might affect moms who are still breastfeeding. Health professionals say breastfeeding is best if possible. The American Academy of Pediatrics says both babies and mothers get nutritional benefits and health protections from the practice.
If a mother is breastfeeding and the child is taken away from her, her milk supply will dry up, unless she's pumping.
That's Dr. Colleen Kraft, president of the American Academy of Pediatrics. It is unclear whether detention facilities provide breast pumps. Customs and Border Protection officials say they do not remove infants from their mothers, quote, while breastfeeding. Media reports contradict what CBP officials tell KQED. And Dr. Kraft herself visited a room full of young children, including a two-year-old, at a facility along the Texas border. She says the reality of ending breastfeeding suddenly is harsh.
When she's reunited with that baby, she's not going to have any milk to give them.
Experts say when mothers have to stop breastfeeding, it can lead to blocked milk ducts and infection. This is in addition to the loss of the emotional bond mothers typically feel when breastfeeding. In other news, California Attorney General Javier Becerra is calling on the Trump administration to end what Becerra says is an illegal practice of separating children from their parents at the border. KQED's politics reporter Marisa Lagos has more.
Becerra and 20 other Democratic attorneys general sent a letter Tuesday calling for an immediate end to the administration's so-called zero-tolerance policy of forcibly separating families that cross the southern border illegally. The prosecutors call the policy inhumane and contrary to American values. And they write that it's interfering with their ability to prosecute international crimes like human trafficking and gang violence, because those cases rely on the cooperation of victims and survivors. For the California Report, I'm Marisa Lagos.
This practice of separating families at the U.S.-Mexico border has gotten a lot of press lately. But what about the system it replaced? During the Obama administration, Immigration and Customs Enforcement detained families together. Then Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano told the LA Times yesterday she opted not to separate families because it's, quote, inconsistent with our values, and that criminally prosecuting every adult would be a misallocation of resources. KQED's Sonia Hudson spoke with Muzaffir Chishti, who's the director of the Migration Policy Institute's office at NYU Law School. She asked him to explain how it worked.
Under a settlement, court settlement in 1997, called the Flores Settlement, children had to be placed in the least restrictive circumstances and quickly released from detention. And they decided, therefore, that the best way was to keep the children and parents together in family detention facilities. And there were two or three family detentions around the country, two of the most important ones in Texas, which were designed for family housing. These are not jails, because we don't keep people in detention, ICE detention facilities, to punish them. We keep them only to make sure that they show up for their hearing in an immigration proceeding. Typically, they would not be held there for more than 20 days, after which they would be given a notice to appear, and in most cases, they would be released on their own recognizance.
So when and why did this practice of detaining families together stop?
Well, the Trump administration decided that everyone who crosses the border illegally will be prosecuted criminally. And the Obama administration's policy was the opposite. And therefore, if they didn't prosecute them criminally, they would keep both the children and the adults in family detention run by ICE.
Was that in violation of the Flores Agreement because, you know, they were still detaining these children in ICE facilities?
Yeah, but I think rarely would you consider a 20-day detention in a family setting as an egregious violation of the Flores settlement, because the attempt was to try to keep kids united with their families and try to move them out of detention.
Did any judge ever make a ruling on whether this Obama-era policy did violate that agreement?
With respect to the 20-day, that was never, no court said that the 20-day was a violation.
Muzaffir Chishti is with the Migration Policy Institute, a nonpartisan think tank in D.C. that studies the movement of people worldwide. And before we move on from family separation, one final note. The White House says President Trump plans to sign an executive order today to keep families together. We'll bring you more on that tomorrow. Staying with immigration, the federal government will try to convince a U.S. district judge in Sacramento today to suspend some of the legal protections for immigrants California recently enacted. KQED's Julie Small reports.
U.S. attorneys say some of the laws California enacted make it harder, costlier, and riskier to enforce immigration law, especially Senate Bill 54, which restricts how local law enforcement agencies may cooperate with immigration and customs enforcement. In a court declaration, the agency's acting director, Thomas Homan, cited several Northern California jails that no longer share booking information, forcing ICE to expend more resources to arrest people after their release. Federal attorneys want to temporarily block SB 54 and two other state laws while they challenge their legality in court. For the California Report, I'm Julie Small.
Today is World Refugee Day, and according to a new report, the U.S. is admitting fewer refugees this year than at any time since 1980. KQED's Farida Jabvala Romero has that story.
The report by the International Rescue Committee says the U.S. is on track to admit 21,000 refugees this year, fewer than any year since the Federal Refugee Resettlement Program began.
And that means that there are highly vulnerable people throughout the world that are not being allowed to come to safety and freedom.
That's Karen Ferguson with the International Rescue Committee. She says in California, the resettlement agency saw a drop of more than 90% in refugee arrivals in the Los Angeles metro area compared to last year.
We are especially seeing the impact in Southern California, where there were strong communities welcoming refugees from the Syrian community, from the Iranian community, and those have been utterly decimated.
Key reasons, she says, are President Trump's decision to cut refugee admissions to a historic low, plus increased vetting requirements as part of the government's travel ban. For the California Report, I'm Farida Jabvala Romero.
In the race for governor, Democrats are taking steps to unify the party after the rough-and-tumble June primary. Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom and his former rival Antonio Villaraigosa campaigned together in Los Angeles Tuesday. The pair battled each other during the primary. Now, they're urging Democrats to put that aside to defeat Republican candidate John Cox in November. KPCC's senior political reporter Mary Plummer has more.
The two former mayors appeared surprisingly friendly after a bruising primary season where they faced off in about a dozen debates. Villaraigosa told reporters that he plans to show up for Newsom whenever called upon.
You're not going to hear any sour grapes from me. I'm a high road guy, and we lost that election.
Villaraigosa says he's still figuring out what his next steps will be. Newsom dodged questions from reporters on whether there will be a role for Villaraigosa in his administration if he's elected. First, he needs to get by Republican John Cox. The San Diego businessman has been endorsed by President Trump, who's expected to campaign in California for the Republican candidate before the election. For the California Report, I'm Mary Plummer in Los Angeles.
A bill that would change California's legal standard for police use of deadly force passed a key state Senate committee yesterday, despite unified opposition from law enforcement groups. KQED's Alex Emsley reports.
Assembly Bill 931 would establish a necessary standard for using deadly force, opening police up to criminal and civil liability if they use a gun when there are other reasonable options.
As judged by whom?
Randy Perry represents several statewide law enforcement organizations.
If someone can later identify any alternative the officer should have used, then the officer's actions are now unlawful under this bill.
San Diego area Assemblywoman Shirley Weber authored the bill.
To hear people say that officers need unfettered ability to use force is, to me, is just totally irresponsible and unacceptable.
The bill has already passed the state assembly and heads next to the Senate Appropriations Committee. For the California Report, I'm Alex Emsley.
Covered California is bracing for the impacts of the loss of the individual mandate. That's the Obamacare-era requirement to have health insurance. That will no longer be a requirement in 2019. KQED's Laura Clivens has more on what that will mean for over a million Californians insured through the state's health exchange.
The Trump administration has vowed to dismantle the Affordable Care Act for years. Congressional Republicans jumped on board by cutting out the requirement to have health insurance as part of the tax reform bill. Covered California Director Peter Lee says because of this, more people will go without health insurance, including those in the state exchange.
We're projecting about a 10% decline. So we have about 1.4 million people. About 140,000 is our best estimate of how many would leave Covered California.
Lee says the people taking that risk will be healthier, leaving a sicker group of enrollees behind.
Premiums will go up for those that stay in the market, but we can do a lot to counteract that by leaning in on marketing, which is exactly what we're going to do in 2019.
Covered California plans to spend more than $1 million on marketing and outreach this year. For the California Report, I'm Laura Clivens.
Support for the California Report comes from Collective Health. American employers are in the healthcare business. It's time they have the technology to drive it. CollectiveHealth.com. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems. And Paint Care. Through Paint Care, paint manufacturers make it easier for households and businesses to recycle leftover house paint, with over 800 convenient drop-off locations around California.
And finally, we couldn't resist. Researchers have found four new mountain lion kittens in the Santa Monica Mountains. These furry, blue-eyed female kittens are about 5.5 weeks old. Officials with the National Park Service visited them to get tissue samples and check their health. They've been tracking the kittens' mother since January as part of an ongoing study of mountain lions in the region. That study's trying to understand how these big cats live in an increasingly fragmented and urbanized landscape. At least 18 mountain lions have been killed on freeways and roads since 2002. Some experts have suggested putting in a wildlife overpass that the cougars can use. During the visit, researchers place tags on the kittens' ears so they can continue to track them throughout their lives. Go to @CalReportTweets to see pictures and video of the kittens. And that's the California Report for Wednesday, June 20th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Polly Stryker. Have a great day.